Tabernacles. If you've ever heard a Muslim called Hajj, that's basically the same word as Hajj, only in Arab instead of Hebrew, because it means a pilgrimage feast, and that's what we're on here is a pilgrimage feast. I tell you what, I don't know which act I've seen today is harder to follow, the great sermonette, the special music, or those little kids dancing. I knew there had to be some dancing somewhere at this feast. Well, I want to talk today about Jesus, and just a clarification, that's my brother Jesus, not my nephew Jesus. Actually, I think he pronounces it Jesus, but some of you may remember a few years back, there was a kind of a fashion craze where people would wear jewelry that said WWJD, and that stood for What Would Jesus Do? It was supposed to remind them to think before they acted. And I guess the people that came up with that, didn't think that that's kind of what these are for. I had this one friend, unfortunately he died a few years back, that he had one that was on a little stick pin that was shaped like the Ten Commandments, and he said, well, it really stands for Worldwide Jewish Domination. He could get away with that because he was raised Jewish. But in a sense, that's true, because Jesus was a Jew, and he's going to dominate the world right in the end. that fad was started by a Protestant youth minister, and he said it probably would have worked better if they just sewed it onto the teenager's underwear, where it would really, remind them at the right time. But anyway, I want to talk to you about Jesus, and what would Jesus do? So let's begin by looking at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 42. Luke 2:42. Let's start in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when he had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee souring. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. So that's one thing that Jesus would do. Jesus would be about his father's business. Now let's look over in the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1, and verse 9. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9, And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. So we see here that one thing that Jesus would do is get baptized. And I suppose you could say that he sought out the most righteous minister he could find to baptize him, because he couldn't baptize himself. Okay, let's look down in verse 13, Mark 1 and verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we see here that one thing that Jesus would do is preach the gospel and call disciples to be fishers of men. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. Matthew 4 verses 10 and 11. This is when Jesus is being tempted by the devil, which we read just a minute ago in Mark. Matthew 4:10, Then Jesus saith unto him, that is, unto the devil, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So here we see another thing that Jesus would do, is he would quote scriptures in the proper context, not like the devil was throwing them at him, but in the proper context, he would quote scriptures, and he'd quote them until he ran the devil off. Because if you resist the devil, he will flee. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So another thing that Jesus would do was he'd go around preaching in the synagogues. Let's look at Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So Jesus would read the scriptures on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. Verse 17, And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach an acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So he'd read Isaiah in church. He wouldn't think it was just the Old Testament stuff. In fact, that's all he really had was the Old Testament stuff. Let's look at verse 28. Luke 4 and verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him under the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of him, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. So Jesus would not only preach, but he preached until lynch mobs started forming spontaneously to kill him, and then he'd make his escape and go somewhere else and preach on the Sabbath days. Let's look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verses 20 through 23. Luke 7 and verse 20. When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. Let's look at verse 34. Luke 7:34. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. So another thing that Jesus would do, and this shocks some people, is he would eat and drink. He enjoyed a feast. And I'm sorry if that offends some people, but he did. Now let's look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 31. Luke 13 and verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out, and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye, and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. So here's another thing that Jesus would do. He'd stand up to threats from the government, because God was on his side. Let's look at Luke chapter 7 again. Luke chapter 7 and verse 34. I'm sorry, I've heard that one already. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 43. Luke 9, 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered everyone at all the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask of him that of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, and set him by him, and said unto him, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me, and whoever shall receive me receives him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So here we see another thing that Jesus would do. He would stop his disciples from striving amongst themselves over who was the greatest, and he would show them that the little children are the great ones, and he would tell them not to forbid somebody that was doing his work just because they weren't with the same organization. Verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew what was waiting on him there, but he steadfastly set his face to go there anyway, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So there's another thing that Jesus would do. He would be merciful to people that didn't like him or didn't accept him. And he would calm his disciples down when they were ready to smite the sinners. During that sermonette today, I got to thinking, man, Peter really got off light when he cut off Malchus' ear. He was lucky Jesus was there to heal that guy. Because he could have went through the rest of his life known as the half-death apostle. over that. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 18 through 20. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. This is after the 70 had returned. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So Jesus would share power. He gave his disciples power over the snakes and the scorpions and the evil people and devils. And they rejoiced in that, but he told them it's even more important that you rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let's look at verse 32, Matthew 10 and verse 32. Wait a minute. Oops, sorry, I got that wrote down wrong. My bad. oh, wait. Oh, I see, I'm in the wrong book. I was in Luke. I'm supposed to be in Matthew here. Matthew 10, I'm sorry about that, Matthew 10, and let's look in verse 5, Matthew 10 and verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth, this is when he set out the 12 apostles, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we see here again, Jesus would delegate authority. And he told them, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So Jesus would delegate power and authority to his followers. Now let's look at Matthew 10 and verse 32. Matthew 10 and verse 32, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And he's quoting here from Micah 7. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. And he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that takes not up his torture stake, I know it probably says cross in your Bibles, but that's actually not the best translation. In Greek, it's a thoros, which just means a stake or a torture stake. Cross is actually only used in the whole Bible as a verb, not as a noun. But he that takes up his stake and follows after me, or he that takes not his stake and follows after me, is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So here we see a thing that Jesus would do is that he'd be straight with his followers and just tell them straight up that you're probably going to get killed over this. You may have to take a torture stake and march to your death just like he did. That's not a comfortable thing. But Jesus would be straight with them. And that's what Jesus would do. He'd be straight. Let's look back in Micah 7 and see the scripture that he was quoting. Micah 7, and let's pick it up in verse 2. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Micah 7, verse 3, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks, and the judge asks for a reward, and the great man, he utters his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lies in thy bosom. For the son dishonors the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. So here we see that Jesus warned us that not all of our relatives are going to like the fact that we joined his church and off creek keeping some crazy feast that they never heard of, even though they claim they read the Bible every day. How you could miss this part, but they do. And I'm sure there's not a person sitting here that doesn't have a relative that's been against him, that hasn't had a father or a mother or a son or a daughter or a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law that was against him because of God's feast. And Jesus would pull no punches about this. He told you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. And here he's going to start telling you what he would do. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in me. Let's look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 14. Now here we say another thing that Jesus would do. He'd hold his friends to a very high standard of loyalty. A very high standard. You know, if you said this to your average friend, they'd be taken aback that you held them to such a standard. But he said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, would your friends not think that that was a little harsh if he said, you're not my friend unless you do everything I tell you to do? But nevertheless, that's what Jesus would do. Let's look at John chapter 16 and verse 25. If this come to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Okay, let's turn back to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 9 through 13. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now a parable That comes from a Greek expression meaning something thrown alongside, just like you may have heard the term parabolic arch. Well, a parable is a story that's just thrown alongside. Anyway, unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? So we see that Jesus would speak to them in parables so that those that he was working with would understand. But to other people, it's just a story. Let's look at verse 33, Mark 4:33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Now let's look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and we'll look at something else that Jesus would do and did do. John chapter 7 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now let me just pause here to say that just because it says the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles, that doesn't mean Feast of Tabernacles is a Jewish thing. You know, when we were in the world back home, people would talk about a Smoky Mountain Christmas, but that doesn't mean they thought he was born in the pigeon porch. The Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. So they were being, I think, a little sarcastic in this. But Jesus answered and said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. And notice verse 8 here. John 7 and verse 8. Go ye up unto this feast. So Jesus commanded his brothers to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. And when he had said these words unto him, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some say, He's a good man, and others said, Nay, but he deceives the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So not only were they trying to catch Jesus and kill him, but they were so serious about it, people were afraid to even mention him, lest they be arrested or persecuted. Then verse 14, John 7 and 14, Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So here's this man, this wanted man, this man that the authorities are seeking to kill, and he sneaks into the feast and starts preaching to them. Right in the middle of them trying to kill him. He's there preaching. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man's letters, having never learned? Well, he was 12 years old and he was arguing with the doctors of the law. I think he knew a few letters. But Jesus answered and said unto them, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet now you keep the law? Why go you about to kill me? The people answered and said, Ah, that's the devil. Who goes about to kill you? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it's of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcised a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? So again, you see that even in the midst of the authorities trying to kill him, he would boldly preach the truth. Bold and shocking truths that people hadn't considered before. Let's look at verse 37. John 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, that's coming up, we haven't got there yet. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this thing, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? They were anxious for these officers to bring Jesus, to snatch him at the feast, so they could kill him. And they said to these officers, why haven't you brought him? Verse 46, the officers answered, never man spoke like this man. And answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? So here Jesus would not only preach at the Feast of Tabernacles, he would preach at the last great day, such that the very people sent to kill him would go back empty-handed and say, nobody ever spoke like this. Later during that same feast, if you'll turn to John chapter 8 and verse 11, John chapter 8 and verse 11, they brought to him a sinner that they caught red-handed to see what he would say. And this was on the last great day, that the symbol of the last judgment. In verse 10, when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? Verse 11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So here's another thing Jesus would do. He would forgive the guilty. He would take away our iniquities and purify us through his sacrifice. Well, I thank you for your time, brethren. God bless you, everyone.